We had Damon or Lenore on, what was it, after week three, Brian, a few weeks ago, and we asked him how he thought they were adjusting to Nick Sorensen. And he said they were feeling each other out. You know, they were still getting used to the scheme and they were going to get there. How do you think Sorensen's done, or Brandon Staley? We haven't heard his name at all. How do you think this new defensive regime has done to this point? And do you see the guys kind of getting used to the scheme? Do you think this is going to work with Sorensen and Staley?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of young players on the back end, right? And now they're playing, right? Renardo Green's playing. Malik Mustafa's playing. They're very young on the back end. They lack range at safety, but they have really much better depth at corner. Than they had in recent years. They also made a mistake. I mean, last year their mistake was they brought in Oliver and they cut DeSean Jameson. This year the mistake was they brought in Yotam and they cut Samuel Womack. Mm-hmm. You can't keep making mistakes at the cutdown on who to keep and who to dispatch. I mean, Sam Womack is a good young athletic corner who has better physical traits than Isaac Yotam. So the fact that he's in Indianapolis playing at a really high level right now and you drafted him is galling. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, I've worked with some great personnel people who would claim that you never get rid of a good cover corner, ever, ever. You figure out another guy on the team to cut and go with, you know, if you got to go with seven corners, then go with seven corners. But you don't cut good cover guys because when they're gone, they're gone. And there's nowhere to find them. See Brian Allen or whatever his name was when they had to go to him against Miami a couple years ago. They signed him on a Wednesday, and on Sunday, Ryan Fitzpatrick came out of out of the huddle and was like pointing at him. Where is he? Oh, he's over there. I mean, literally, he was like, oh, he's right there. Oh, he's right
another,
there.
Another, I mean, yeah, that, another that name. Another name that's frustrating.
So
DJ, you know, Reed. DJ Reed's another name.
And you can't keep making bad decisions. As far as Sorensen, I mean, this, you know, I hate the fact that I've got to be the heavy, but I mean, I'm literally asking him last week, what do you like about Campbell? You know, I mean, why is Campbell getting run? And a credit to Sorensen, he got less run this week. He went more to Winters. But I mean, you replaced an all pro. I don't care if he was an all pro. In my mind, he is an all pro. Dre Greenlaw was an all-pro player.
Difference maker.
And you're replacing him with a replacement-level player in Campbell, and then you're scratching your head going, I wonder why that's not working. I wonder why our defense is not quite as good. You know, hey, that's why. And then this, you know, you kiss off Graham and, you know, Winters and Bethune and guys who actually have natural instincts to go to the football for, you know, for Campbell. And Campbell just – his agility is just gone. I mean, he has no lateral ability at all. You saw the Kyler Murray touchdown run. Mm-hmm. He ran right by him. And, you know, he's had countless examples like that. So the front is playing pretty well. They don't have great defensive end depth. I like the addition of Jordan Elliott. I feel like Jordan Elliott has given them a big war daddy in the middle who's strong. He's very strong at about 310. So I like him. I like Collins. I don't know that they're difference makers. There's no Chris Jones in there, that's for sure. And I think Bosa has been a little up and down. But I just think the big difference, if you say, what's the big difference in the defense? It's that they used to be lights out on the second level, and now they're not.
Yeah. You said that you don't like Winters, but if it came down to Campbell or Winters, do you feel like Winters is still the better play just because Campbell is essentially non-functional?
I don't like Winters. I just don't like the fact that Winters falls off of tackles and doesn't pack a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And to me, I like those linebackers that you almost feel like you're in danger when you're in the same room with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like I feel very safe around D Winters, very safe. He's a nice guy. His greatest trait is his speed, but I need a little bit more thump, you know? And I'll tell you, and this is how I honestly feel, and maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. But I kind of feel like what's going to happen here is eventually the Niners are, it doesn't seem like it's their year. Maybe it won't, maybe they'll bounce back. But at some point, we're going to see Jalen Graham get some run. And then there's going to be some explaining to do, because I have a feeling Jalen Graham's going to pile up some big tackle totals. And people are going to be like, well, wait a second, you know, Nick, Brandon, you know, Kyle, how come Jalen Graham hasn't been playing? And it's going to, you know, we're going to hear some flimsy excuse. This guy's fast. He's instinctive. I mean, I just get a feeling that when he gets out there, he's going to be a hard guy to get off the field.
I remember the year that he was drafted, Scott McLuhan, you know, I don't remember who, I think it's Matt Barrows.
Yeah.
Always sits down with McLuhan after the draft. And Jalen Graham was one of his favorite picks from that draft, that seventh round linebacker out of Purdue. McLuhan liked him a lot.
He played a hybrid safety linebacker role. When I asked Steve Wilkes, you know, about him last year, he's like, yeah, you know, he played this hybrid role. So he's kind of coming along a little slower than D Winters is. But I mean, I'll tell you, man, I saw, you know, he took a couple of bad run fits in the preseason, but he also makes a lot of tackles. He's always around the ball. He flies around. He's pretty instinctive. He can kind of get through the trash and kind of sift through and make tackles. You know, I was disappointed when the Commanders and Adam Peters picked him off, and I was thrilled when the Niners grabbed him, but I got to see him on the field at some point. So I'd like to see it.
You know, this is a huge game coming up against the Cowboys for both teams. Dallas needs this win. The Niners need this win. The Niners cannot go into the bye 3-5, not with what their schedule looks like after the bye. And Dallas has looked, they've been terrible at home. They've won some games on the road. They need to turn it around too. How do you see this matchup for the Niners? Is this a game that they can bounce back, or are the Cowboys coming off a bye going to give them all they can handle?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things at play here. One, Cowboys have a huge rest advantage, and we're now at the part of the season where rest is starting to matter more and more and more. So, you know, I think the Cowboys are just a bad matchup. I mean, I think the 49ers are just a bad matchup for the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Niners can run the ball, and the Niners can stop the run for the most part. At least, you know, there have been exceptions to that, but that's pretty much been their MO. Dallas can't run the ball and can't stop the run. They spent a first round pick on Mozzie Smith. He can't play dead. I mean, the guy, seriously, I mean, he's, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Yeah.
I mean, he's terrible. They don't, you know, how could a team that once had Tony Dorsett and Emmitt Smith not give a damn about a running back? I mean, anybody with a brain could see that they didn't have a running back. Zeke Elliott, Deuce Vaughn, you know, I mean, the guy from South Carolina is, I mean,
Dowdle.
Dowdell, I mean, they get nothing. They get absolutely nothing. No running backs to speak of. And shocker, they can't run the ball. And then they haven't been a good run D for a couple of years. So
yeah,
I think it favors the 49ers. I wish the Niners still had a healthy Elijah Mitchell, because Mitchell really was phenomenal against Dallas at just kind of sifting through and knowing how to pick up all those extra yards. But I think it's a get right game for the Niners, because I think they're going to run it down Dallas's throat. I think Dallas is going to struggle to run. Dak's going to turn it over. Brock's not. The 49ers are going to win, and probably big.
And even when you look at their offense, I mean, you know, CeeDee Lamb's there, but Jake Ferguson's basically their second option receiving. You got Jalen Tolbert. You got Kevontae Turbin. Like, these are not the Cowboys that you're used to from the past couple of years offensively, I don't think. So I feel the same way. I know the Niners haven't been playing well, and there's, I don't know, maybe you're like, what's your basis for saying this? But I think it's going to be a big win for the Niners. I really do. Like you said, I don't think Dallas matches up very well against them, and it could be the Niners have their backs against the wall. Dallas does too, I guess, but I don't think Dallas is a very good team to begin with. Niners are a good team, and their backs are against the wall, and I could see this week them really coming out and putting up, you know, like 35 points. What do you think, Bri?
Well, the one thing we do know about this team is they tend to show up when the lights are brightest, and this is a primetime game. It's a Sunday night football game. I think they're a little bit embarrassed by the way that they came out against the Chiefs. We know that they're hurting. Obviously, you know, they're missing Brandon Ayuk. But I just think that at a certain point, pride is really going to be the thing that motivates this team to be like, wait a second, we're too good to be playing the way that we're playing. And I think it starts against an opponent like this, where it's just like, you know, I don't know if George Kittle is going to wear the fuck Dallas shirt or not. I hope that he does. He got fined last time, but I'm sure that he's willing to eat that fine again. But at a certain point, like I said, this team is too talented to just accept the way that they've been playing. And with it being a primetime game, I agree. I think they're going to absolutely run roughshod over the Cowboys. I think they win, and I think they win big. I'm going to say that they win by at least 3 scores. And you know, the Cowboys are going to come out of this game with more questions, and it's just going to keep going downhill for there.
Big Jordan Mason game.
I have one concern in this game, and that is I kind of feel like the Niners need a certain kind of trip. You know what I mean? It's like if you're thinking of like a jockey in a horse race, it's like I don't think the 49ers, especially with this line, especially with no CMC, Debo not 100%, no JJ, no Ayuk, they cannot dig themselves into a 14-0 hole against this particular team, or they're going to get their doors blown off. Why? Because Dallas is a fraud, but what they're great at is turning a 14-point lead into a 28-point lead. They have a lot of rush up front. Now, Lawrence is on IR. Parsons did not play today or practice today. Didn't practice yesterday. So he's probably not going to go. So their rush is not what it was. I think if the Niners get the kind of trip they want, which is a slow, methodical lead, yeah, it's going to be a big Niner win. But if by chance the Niners have some special team gack and they – they choke all over themselves on special teams and fall into any kind of a 10-point or 14-point hole with Dallas's, you know, aggressiveness up front, with their ball hawking secondary, you know, that hunts for picks. Dallas has got some impressive wins too. And all the other thing that's a little scary about this game is Dallas has been a road warrior this year. They're not been, they haven't won at home, but they're good on the road. And they look good against the Steelers. I'm just saying, the Niners on paper own the Cowboys. And Bosa was asked about it this week. He's like, well, we've had a lot of success. Don't get a big head here, because if you fall behind in this game, it's going to be near impossible to come back against the pressure and with the DBs and without the weapons. And to me, the Niners are better than Dallas. They should beat Dallas. They should beat them convincingly, but they have to get a lead and build on it. They will not dig themselves into a 10 or 14 point hole and come roaring back. It won't happen.
You brought something up. Go ahead, Al.
The Cowboys are number one in special teams DVOA.
That's what I was about to say.
The Niners are first, only had a ton of teams. Yeah, I could definitely see that bite. It bites them in the ass every week. Why wouldn't it bite them in the ass this week too? But if they lose, it's going to be a long 2 weeks waiting through the bottom. Niners fans their heads may explode. Everybody needs a win this week. So Larry, we appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm at Levi's Stadium right now. check me out. I'm on Twitter at or X at Sports Larry K. Of course, the Krug Show on YouTube. We just eclipsed 50,000 subs 2 days ago.
That's awesome.
Been grinding on that for 3 years with my son, and I'm having a ton of fun on it. And, you know, I love streaming with guys like yourselves, and people are really knowledgeable, and the YouTube space has been amazing. Of course, I'm back on KMBR now. You can catch me at the top of the hour on KMBR on 104.5 FM on the FM dial, 680 AM on the AM dial from 6 until 7 tonight. I'll have Niners Nightly, and John Dickinson's going to be my guest at the bottom of the hour. And then I'll be YouTubing later tonight with Dieter Kurtenbach on the Krug Show, streaming, I should say. And I'll be doing this all again in the morning. Chase Sr. is going to stop by tomorrow. Damon Bruce. We'll cover the Niners start to finish. And then, of course, I'll be on the KMBR pre and post game show on Sunday. So I'm omnipresent right now, hustling every single day.
Love it. And I will say, Saturday, you have a huge guest Saturday morning.
And then, by the way, Saturday, don't even forget, Saturday I do Niners I do a live stream with at 8 a.m. and Al Sacco is going to be by.
Oh, look at that.
I do a show called 49er Forecast later on Saturday. So, I mean, I'll be talking a lot of Niners. I'll be talking a lot. If you didn't hear it here, you'll hear it again soon.